Talks of data centers in Yuma are prompting protest, students launching their own makeup product, and the road to entrepreneurship. I'm Alexandra Rangel, and you're listening to KAWC's Arizona Edition. Local developers say data centers are interested in coming to Yuma.
Data centers are coming, folks, and they're coming in waves. That's the reality.
A high school program is nurturing the next generation of makeup artists.
I want to help people feel confident in themselves, feel beautiful.
And we hear from local business owners. These stories coming up on Arizona Edition.
Funding for Arizona Edition comes from listeners just like you. Your continued support allows us to bring you insightful conversations about issues and events impacting our community. Thanks to you, we are able to highlight the people and voices of Yuma and La Paz counties and encourage civil conversations around water, agriculture, healthcare, education, and much more. Please continue to tune in to Arizona Edition, and thank you for helping us keep our community informed.
This is Arizona Edition. I'm Alexandra Rangel. On this week's episode, we start with the latest fallout in Somerton surrounding Cesar Chavez. Somerton has become the first city in Yuma County to officially start the process of removing Cesar Chavez's name from both a holiday and a street. The decision follows a recent New York Times investigation detailing sexual abuse allegations against Chavez. On Tuesday, Somerton City Council decided to move forward with changing the name of Cesar Chavez Avenue to a name that honors farm workers. They're also planning to remove the March 31st Cesar Chavez Day holiday and replacing it with Christmas Eve.
You know, I'm good with the option. One thing that, you know, was just thinking, still honoring, the movement and what our community represents. An appropriate name would be a farm worker avenue, and you know, I've seen other communities are doing the same, and it's just we are a farm worker community of farm workers.
This decision follows similar moves by other cities across the U.S. following the allegations. The city of San Luis has also begun discussions about possibly following suit. Data centers could soon be on the horizon for Yuma. City leaders say developers are showing interest in bringing projects to the area. As the world moves further into AI, the demand for data centers is growing. But some residents are already voicing concerns. The topic was a major point of discussion this week at the Yuma City Council retreat. Reporter Victor Calderon has the latest on the two-day retreat, plus the protests that took place days later outside the Yuma County Administration Building.
Elected officials and community residents from across Yuma County heard presentations on data centers Friday morning at a meeting organized by the Greater Yuma Economic Development Corporation, or GYEDC. The meeting was initially not open to the general public, but was opened as some residents had gathered to protest against data centers. A data center is a physical facility that organizations use to house their critical applications and data. An AI data center is specifically designed to support the demanding computational requirements of artificial intelligence workloads. Data center supporters say they bring jobs and can be a big driver of local revenue for cities and counties. Opponents, however, say data centers have high environmental costs as they tend to use high amounts of energy and water. Yuma Mayor Doug Nichols, other local elected officials, and Greg Levan, GYEDC's president and CEO, have said there are no current plans coming before any local government agencies at this time. Levan did say companies are interested in building data centers across Arizona and specifically in Yuma County because of proposed natural gas projects.
We do have multiple projects that are public that have gone, actually had open houses here in Yuma, proposing to build natural gas pipelines. One would be north of YPG coming down, and another one would be coming out of New Mexico. Those are both public announcements. They are, you can go look them up right now. And that's why data centers right now are very interested in Yuma County.
Levan said those natural gas projects would bring alternative energy sources to the area. Yuma County Supervisor Jonathan Lines said he would recommend that any data center here would use a model that would not impact water for agricultural use. Meeting attendees heard presentations from a representative with Arizona Public Service, or APS, and the Economic Development Manager from the city of El Mirage in Maricopa County, where they have data centers. Public comments at the meeting were directed through a QR code. I spoke to a couple of people who are opposed to data centers. Priscilla Ruedas said she's concerned about environmental impacts.
I'm very concerned that we live in a city that's so hot, and with the data and the science that has already been proven that they increase the temperatures, I'm concerned about the environmental impacts that they have on the community, including the sound. I'm concerned about just long-term effects for the future of Yuma and our children in this community. I'm concerned about the farmland. We are an agriculture town, and how are we going to justify even having this discussion currently?
And so what would be your message to the people in the room?
We need to prioritize the longevity and well-being of the Yuma community as a whole, and a data center is not appropriate for our community.
CJ Alberts said she felt disappointed by Friday's meeting.
I came because I'm a concerned citizen about the future development of the city that I live in, and wanted to express from the very start of these initial conversations my position around data centers and my disinterest of having them in Yuma County.
And so what are the reasons that you are against data centers?
For me, it's mostly about protecting Yuma's agricultural integrity. I think there are a lot of unknowns with manufacturing at this scale for its water usage rights, for the heat islands it spikes, for energy usage and the grid constraints that it has. In addition to all of that, I also think a lot of socioeconomic theorists are predicting a pretty obvious AI balloon bubble to pop soon, that I think this is just not a forward-thinking mission at all, and I think it's pretty short-sighted for the longevity of our community.
Mayor Nichols and Greg Levan today again have said that there's no projects officially, you know, on any agendas at this time. What are people talking about, what this could mean for our area?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of speculation right now because there's been a complete lack of transparency from the city. There have been ongoing conversations around this, and it's been documented for the last 18 months, at least that we can find. I just really want them to have a clear line of communication and listen to their constituents, their elected officials, and I think even this meeting wasn't supposed to be public until the very absolute last minute. It's during a work day, it's 9 in the morning on a Friday. No one had time to prepare to actually get here in the numbers that they deserve to have an actual audience who can hear this information live with them. And then their inability to comment on questions addressed to them, I think, was really cowardly as well, to be honest. It just was disappointing.
Earlier this past week, Yuma Mayor Nichols, city council members, and city staff gathered in San Luis for a retreat. One of the topics they discussed was data centers. Nichols told KAWC he's listening to all sides at this early point in discussions about data centers in Yuma.
We've just started this discussion, so we're going to take our time, and we're going to get it all vetted. I want to hear. I met with some constituents this morning who were very adamant against it, so I listened to what they had to say, and I suggested a couple other points of view for consideration, but I made it clear to them their opinion needs to be part of the discussion, as well as people who are pro data centers.
Stay tuned to KAWC for any future updates on discussions about data centers in Yuma County. For KAWC News, in Yuma, I'm Victor Calderon.
Next, Education Solutions reporter Cisco Stargazer is taking us into a unique program at Cibola High School, coming up on Arizona Edition.
Funding for Arizona Edition comes from listeners just like you. Your continued support allows us to bring you insightful conversations about issues and events impacting our community. Thanks to you, we are able to highlight the people and voices of Yuma and La Paz counties and encourage civil conversations around water, agriculture, healthcare, education, and much more. Please continue to tune in to Arizona Edition, and thank you for helping us keep our community informed.
For Arizona Edition, I'm Cisco Stargazer. This school year, there's been a new career and technical ed course at Cibola High School. Aesthetics. No, not the philosophical study of beauty, but rather skincare and beauty in the cosmetology sense. It might not seem like an obvious CTE offering, but cosmetology has become popular with Yuma Union High School District students. The first program was made available in 2023 through STEADY, the Southwest Technical District of Yuma, and it consistently fills up. But now, Stephanie Stevenson is teaching aesthetics at Cibola, a whole new program. Although this opportunity wasn't available to her when she was in high school, she's glad to be changing that.
Growing up, I always liked hair and makeup and all of those great things. And so I thought, what a great opportunity if we can give more students that actual avenue, that career path where they can explore and, you know, dabble in makeup and facials so that when they go out into the real world, if that's something that they want to do, they're prepared to take on that challenge.
Stevenson explained students can't get a license through this program yet, but they plan to eventually have labs so that students can enter the workforce right after graduation. In the meantime, though,
well, this will give them an idea before they go and spend $10,000-$15,000 on an aesthetic school or a cosmetology school. Gives them the opportunity to explore what it is without any financial risk to them.
In the aesthetics class, students learn things like how chemicals interact with skin, the importance of hygiene, and color theory for different complexions. Industry practices are essential to the course, and since it's a CTE program, industry members are invited to the classroom.
We had Kelly's Brows come and educate our students on like brow waxing, threading, and brow shaping, and she worked with the students. And then we also had an esthetician named Zulika who came in, and she showed them how she does facials, because everybody does facials differently. And so she showed them little tips and tricks that she learned in the salon that maybe she wasn't taught in the beauty industry, and she came and shared those ideas with my students.
When we visited the classroom in March, beauty bar business owner Jackie Alves was teaching the students about making their own lip glosses. She was more than just a guest, however. Alves has partnered with the class to offer her own master class in makeup. And that began when Stevenson brought some students to her business.
So she brought them for a field trip over to the beauty bar. I own a makeup studio here in Yuma over in the mall. And they were just beside themselves. We had so much fun when they were there, and they were like, oh my God. I was like, yes, you too can own a makeup studio someday. And I also have a makeup academy there. So they were really excited. It's almost like an extension of what they get to do here.
Alongside her cosmetology license, Stevenson has a lot of experience hairdressing and doing facials. But Alves explained cosmetology schools don't necessarily teach makeup. And that's why Stevenson approached her.
So she's like, okay, you apparently seem to be the authority on makeup around here, so would you partner with me to come in and teach my kids? And so we kind of broke down what a master class would look like, because we thought maybe a four-part series, something like that. And I said, yeah, let's roll out a master class. And then also sort of in exchange for me doing the master class, they are selling their Cibola eyeshadow palettes in order to pay for the course, which is pretty amazing because they got to design the palettes. So it's not something I was like, here, kids, have these. They actually got to invent their own, create the formulas, create the shades, and then design the logo for the front and the back, the color of the palette, everything.
The Aesthetics Club, which runs in addition to the class, designed the palette. Jacqueline Rios, a junior, explained some of their thought process.
Our purpose for the palette was for like shows or everyday wear. We wanted to make a combination of that, so like glam with also casual everyday wear. That's why we chose different browns and like cream colors. And then the gold, blacks, and whites were for more showy, more flashy. And that was a really big process. I'm really proud to have been part of that.
According to Rio, sales seem to be going well for the palette. She's had relatives making purchases. The Maris Luna, another junior in the class, shared she's been recommending it to her clients. Yes, you heard that right. Luna already has her own clients.
So I have my nail business. It's been going for 3 years now, and I would like to expand my areas, like in eyelashes and hair and waxing and stuff. So like I would like to cover like most of that. I would like to open my salon in the future, and like I'll like add these things and like
make a huge business. Yeah, that's my dream.
Has this class helped with your business?
Yeah, honestly, yeah. Like, when we had to sell, like, makeup palettes, like, I was recommending to clients. And then, like, they're like, oh, yeah, you should for sure open a business and stuff like that. Like, and more about, like, oh, yeah, we also learned, like, how to gain clients and, like, how to keep engaged with them, how to make your clientele. And that helped me so much with my own business. Like, ideas, like, of how to get your business out there. We also covered that, and, like, it honestly helped me so much with my own business.
Students have been learning quite a bit in aesthetics, so we asked them to share some of the most surprising things they've learned. Julieta Renteria, a fellow junior, said,
I wouldn't say it's important, but yesterday something that did stand out to me was where makeup originated from and all the stuff that they used to put on their face before now. Like, obviously, the things that we put on our face, yes, some can be bad, but before they were putting, like, lead on their face, and they would get, like red spots or dark spots, and they would just keep adding more, and that's how they became sick.
For Rios, it was chemistry and machinery.
My first, like, month in this class, Miss Stevenson brought in a machine that, it was so weird. It was like an x-ray, but you put your face in it and it shines like certain lights on your face, and it helps you see what's like the kind of skin you have on your face. Different colors would mean different conditions. So like the yellowish white would mean blackheads, dark purple would mean hyperpigmentation, and so on.
And for Luna, it was shapes.
Colors, like face shapes. Like, I found out my face shape, I never knew my face shape. And then I found out, like, oh, like, I've been doing this wrong my whole entire life. Like, no wonder it didn't look good. She, like, helped me know, like, what would look good on me, what type of hairstyle, what, like, color of makeup when I do my eyeshadow and stuff. So, like, I'll look better.
On makeup specifically, Jackie Alf said she wanted to go with basics that would benefit beginners, since most of the makeup artists she knows started from the bottom.
I wanted to do something mainstream, so I chose Soft Glam to kind of go through makeup basics first, like basic makeup application, cover some sanitation, different skin types and skin tones, color theory, but then go into basic makeup application and soft glam, just because those are the most popular and that's what people are paying for right now.
But that raises a question. Are people really paying for these services in Yuma?
I know a lot because I have to run a business according to the demand, and thank God there's a lot. But I think that has a lot to do with our large Hispanic population, so there's lots of quinceañeras. So we love that, you know, because they get treated like a wedding. They're just as important, and they dress up just as much, and the makeup is just as extravagant.
When asked about student engagement, Alves reported at least half of them are extremely engaged, especially with makeup.
Some of them may be here just for aesthetics, and they're like, yeah, this isn't facials, this isn't what I came for, so that's understandable. But so many of them are really excited, and even if they don't want to be a makeup artist, I mean, what's not exciting about makeup to an aesthetics student? So I feel like I've got it made. I'm teaching the fun part of the class.
Some of the students came into this class dreaming of a career in cosmetology, like Luna, who aspires to open a salon someday. But others, like Renteria, see this as a potential trade to keep in their back pocket.
I'm more focused, like, on the medical field. This was more like of a side thing if I didn't get into, like, a nursing class.
Rios is also interested in medicine, but since starting this class, her ideas of the future have branched out.
My mom used to have breast cancer, so I wanted to become a medical professional to help people like that. And then my cousin also became a nurse, and that also became an expectation of me because of him. But then after I got into aesthetics, I started realizing, you know, I told my mom about it. She's like, you know what? This is gonna be a really good thing for you. It has art, like makeup art. It's something I'm really interested in, which is art. And then she also, beauty is a big part of her life as well. Like a lot of women, majority of women, it's a huge part of their life. And I realized, you know, some people who are going through those things just want to feel beautiful. That can also restore confidence in people. And I'm like, you know what? This is what I want to do. I want to help people feel confident in themselves, feel beautiful.
And in her view, this class has gone far beyond just teaching beauty.
This class could be for anybody. Like, it's not just about like makeup and consumerism and stuff like that. It's also about life skills. This class has also taught me some business skills. It's taught me life skills. It's also taught me how to cooperate with others who don't have the same views as you. That's very important.
To learn more about aesthetics at Cibola, contact Stevenson at sstevenson@yumaunion.org. That's Stevenson with a V. Folks interested in the Cibola palette can email her as well, or visit the beauty bar in the Yuma Palms Mall. For Arizona Edition, I'm Cisco Stargazer, and this reporting supported by a grant from the Arizona Local News Foundation. Students like the Maris Luna aren't the only ones with their own businesses. As our own student reporters discovered, there are plenty of entrepreneurs at Arizona Western College, too. For our latest Stand Lo Primero episode, our students interviewed a mother and daughter who opened a thrift shop together, Revival Fix, in downtown Yuma.
Hello, my name is Ajay Bárcenas.
And I'm Melanie Ruiz López.
And we are here with
Marisa Galindo
and Raquel Galindo.
I am studying here at NAU Yuma. I am studying business administration, and I've also been graduating of AWC.
And I have a business that is called Revival Fix, and I'm a housewife, mother, and a little bit of everything.
Can we know a little bit about how do you start it?
I started when I was 19 years old. I immigrated to San Diego because I met my husband. Then we started a family. My daughter born over there in San Diego. And honestly, it was kind of hard. It was hard. He started like a new opportunity to move to Yuma. And that's where everything started here in Yuma.
Okay, so I'm the daughter. I've always had a passion for business. I was always selling anything that I could. I wanted extra money. And my parents taught me to work hard, como los mexicanos dicen. Si quieres algo, vas a trabajar. Entonces yo vendía pulseritas, little bracelets, whatever I could find, I was selling. My old clothes, I would go to Mexico during the summers, and I would sell my old clothes outside of my grandma's house. I'd be like, ah, barato, barato. I'd be yelling. And then now that I'm here in the United States, I started my own business with my mom. And we started on Instagram. So that's probably the easiest way to start a business, to get your name out. Now everything is social media. One day we were just walking downtown. So we were passing by Cafecito. We saw this building leasing. It was Main Street downtown. So great location. My eyes blew. Like, I was like, oh my God. I was like, Amá, let's do it. And my mom was like, you're kind of crazy. ¿De qué hablas? I called my dad right there. I was a little nervous in the beginning. He called the number, told me how much it was renting and everything. And then from there, I called it and we went, did an interview with the lady, and we're like, let's do it. Let's do it. Yeah.
Yeah. My perspective was different. Honestly, as a mother, no quieres apagar los sueños de tus hijos, ¿no? Entonces, es como que, okay, ¿cuánto vamos a pagar de renta? ¿Iremos a poder? ¿No iremos a poder? Pero mi mamá a mí me enseñó que nunca debes de tener miedo. El miedo es lo que te impulsas. Todos lo sentimos, pero de ahí haces el cambio. Como dice ella, hands on, like, órale, vamos. Entonces, platicamos como familia. Lo bueno es que ya habíamos construido una clientela. Como que se va corriendo la voz, ¿no? Es un pueblo chico y humano. Y mira, aquí estamos. Ya tenemos 3 años ahí en ese negocio. Y estamos muy contentos. Ajá.
¿Y cuál creen que fue la clave para poder crecer tanto?
I have OCD, so I have recurring thoughts. But you just kind of have to ignore those thoughts. And just say, my goal is there and I'm gonna get there. And you just have to believe in yourself. That's what I would say.
Sí, y te tiene que gustar lo que estás haciendo. Esa chispa, ¿no? Que sientes tú muchas veces en el corazón o el estómago, maripositas. Es lo que te va a hacer levantarte. Yo y mi hija somos polos opuestos. O sea, yo soy muy relajada. Yo tengo ADHD. De la misma manera como relajada, soy muy creativa. La parte de mi hija es muy organizada. Y pues, sí, que somos mexicanos también. Tenemos muy bonito carácter, ¿ah? ¿Por qué no me voy a elogiar, ¿ah? Buen customer service. Es un todo. Somos como yin and yang y nos complementamos.
To check out the full episode, visit kewc.org and find Cien Lo Primero under our podcast tab. Or look it up wherever you get your podcasts.
KAWC's Arizona Edition is a production of KAWC, Colorado River Public Media. Questions or comments are welcome. Send them to azed@kawc.org. Our theme music was used with permission and composed by Stephen Hennig and performed by members of the Yuma Jazz Company. More information at yumajazz.com. Past shows and podcast information is available online. Just visit kawc.org for more information, or search Arizona Edition wherever you get your podcasts. You can also take KAWC with you wherever you go. Just download the KAWC COFA app, and the listening is in your hands. I'm Victor Calderon. This is KAWC's Arizona Edition. Thanks for listening.